Hi, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you back, brothers and sisters. We're going back into our study of the letter R, and that's our second study in the ABCs of Christian Growth having to do with the letter R, and that is resurrection. Resurrection. Now, our last study was interesting. We were in it and talking about quite a few different things having to do with resurrection, which was other recorded resurrections in the Scriptures, and that was after we had discussed and found out what the Scriptures say about Jesus Christ's resurrection specific, if you remember. All right, and after we got done with it, we come to today, and we're going to begin to talk about spiritual resurrection. Spiritual resurrection. We've been talking about bodily resurrections and people that come back to life and people that do not come back to life and that all resurrect. It's just depending on when and where you're going to resurrect and what you're going to resurrect to, what judgment you're going to stand before. But today we're going to talk about spiritual resurrection. Now, man is an interesting creature. He is made in the image of God. Adam was made in the image of God. Actually, every person after that was made in the image of their father. Okay? But man himself, mankind, humanity, man, was made in the image of God. And that meaning that man is three parts. He is tripartite. He is spirit, soul, and body. You are three in one, just like God is. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. All three are distinct in their offices, but all three are the same God. Three in one. There's one God and one mediator between God, Christ Jesus. Okay, so today we're going to go into spiritual resurrection and the spiritual part of a man that is resurrected. And one thing that we need to bring forth before we go into this is recognize is that in order for something to resurrect, first it has to be dead. Notice that when we was reading about all those other resurrections, whenever we were talking about before, when we were going over the Scriptures and talking about them being resurrected, or the Lord saying, Lazarus, come forth, and Peter praying, and all those children coming back from Elijah and Elisha, and all the things that we went over all the other resurrections, before those people came back to life bodily and came back, their soul came back in them, and their spirit came back in them, before that, it mentioned they were dead. They were dead. So in order for spiritual resurrection to happen, there has to be spiritual death. Spiritual death. And that's a whole different study that we have in the ABCs, but just to get this study started and established, every man that is born, every human being, humanity, that was what is the Adamic nature. That's one fact of the Adamic nature, is that man is born spiritually dead. Every baby that comes out of the womb, every child that is born, a human being, and draws a breath into a human body, and the Lord the Lord puts life into that human being, that child is spiritually dead. He's dead. The spirit part of that child is dead. It's still there, but it's dead. It's dead, and it has to be resurrected, and we'll see that as we go through this. So see, man is spirit, man is soul, and man is body. And what we've been over in our previous lesson has mostly, in our previous lessons has mostly discussed bodily resurrection. That flesh, that body that you're wearing, not the spirit. Now, your soul is that person back behind your eyes. It's you. It's you. But the spiritual part of you is dead, and it has to be resurrected. And there is where we talk about, in this dispensation, what Christianity is. It's being spiritually resurrected. There's a lot of people out there that talk, that'll call anything a Christian. But a Christian, according to the scriptures, is somebody that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Ghost has done his part and kept his promise and has entered into that person and has wakened up his spirit and brought it back to life. And God the Holy Ghost enters into that person, into that body, and indwells that body and brings that person's spirit back to life and separates, spiritually circumcises that soul from that body. That soul's still in that body, but it is now separated and unattached to that body, that sinful body that's going to die and is still wicked and sinful and evil, but your soul is now separated from it, and your spirit is alive unto God. Saying you are now in the family of God, and you can now talk to God, you can now commune with God, because your spirit is alive. Okay, so that's just an introduction to what we're talking about, the spiritual resurrection. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's what we've been talking about, fleshly, bodily resurrection. That dust, the body going in the ground, the bones being in the ground, and the Lord raising it up, and it coming back to life, life coming back into that body, and that body moving around and pumping blood and coming back to life. All right, we're not talking about that now. We're talking about the spirit part of a man. All right? And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Is spirit. So that's what we're talking about now. And every person on this planet is instructed and commanded to be born again. Ye must be born again. Well, what did he mean by that? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born of the spirit. Every person that's alive today and walking around in that body has been born, halfway born. They've been born of the flesh. They come out of their mother's womb, born of water, born of water. But they have to be born of the spirit. Why? Because their spirit is dead, and they need to be born again. Their spirit needs to be born again in order to be saved and to be in the family of God and to have God's approval and God's righteousness upon them, Jesus Christ's righteousness, and the propitiation that Jesus Christ provided for the Father in payment of our sins to take our sins away. The spiritual resurrection covers a lot of area. But when it comes to talking about a Christian, that's what it's talking about. A person that has been spiritually resurrected. Everybody talks about being a Christian. Oh, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, I take the sacraments and I twiddle the beads and I tell all my deep darkest secrets to the guy in the closet and I pray five times a day and to Allah, and I do that. A lot of people talk about being Christian. But what is the Bible definition of being Christian? Well, this is it right here. Spiritual resurrection. If you have not been spiritually resurrected, you are not doctrinally and scripturally a Christian, because you have not been born again by the Spirit. and the only way to be born again by God the Holy Ghost is that you believe on Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. And that's what the Bible says. So having said all that, let's begin. Spiritual resurrection. What about it? Well, the first thing about it is the power that accomplishes spiritual resurrection. What kind of power does it take, and where does that power come from in order to accomplish spiritual resurrection? Well, it's the same power that accomplishes bodily resurrection. First of all, it's the power of God. There's no person that can spiritually resurrect themselves. The same way people are running to and fro throughout this whole, all of time that man has been on this earth, and all the time until the Lord comes back and he burns this earth, man is still in search of how to keep his body alive. How to keep his body alive. Going through this, doing this, eating vegan, doing this, doing that, and all sorts of kind of stuff. Spending, just pocketfuls of money and getting nothing accomplished. Because man cannot keep man's body alive. You can eat all you want to, you can do all you want to, but one thing you're going to notice, and if you ain't noticing it, then you're ignorant and you're stupid and you just don't want to see it, but people get old and die. Same thing spiritually, with exception that you never was alive spiritually. When a man is born, a human being is born, he is born a three-part person like God has made him, but his spirit, the spiritual part of him, is dead already, and it has to be resurrected. It has to be brought to life. It has to be quickened, which means made alive, make alive. Okay, and that's what God the Holy Ghost does when he comes to live in the believer at the time of salvation. Excuse me. The power that accomplishes spiritual resurrection, the first thing is the power of God. Ephesians says that in chapter 2 and verse 4 through 10. Listen to this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, what's quickened mean? Make alive. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Notice how these things are intermingled. Salvation, being made alive, quickened, coming from being dead in sins to be quickened together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You see that? Spiritual resurrection is really the definition of Christianity, being saved. You see that? But reading on, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, saying he done it himself, see. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The good works come after you're saved, not before you're saved. They don't count for nothing before you're saved. You're dead. You're spiritually dead. And the Bible says that anything done before God that's not in a spirit is vanity. It's worthless. It's worthless. For those that come unto him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay? What else? Well, it's the power of God. The power that accomplishes spiritual resurrection is the power of God. Also, 1 Peter mentions something about that. It says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, something that's living, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What good news is that? We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In the last time. The power that accomplishes spiritual resurrection is the power of God. Is the power of God. Only God can spiritually resurrect a human being. You are either resurrected and your spirit is alive. There's only two different kinds of human beings walking on this planet right now. And there are no others. One of them is a person that has their spirit that has been awakened by God the Holy Spirit, and they are alive unto God, and they are born again and in the family of God and awaiting their time to go be with the Lord and be with Him forever. Or a person's spirit is dead, and they are dead in their sins, and they're going to die, and they're going to go to hell. Period. Period. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance. And that is repenting of their sins and confessing Christ and believing on the gospel according to the scriptures and being born again. All right, what else? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about the power of God. We're talking about the power that accomplishes spiritual resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let me read that to you, and verse 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see that? You see that? All right, so the power for spiritual resurrection, the power that accomplishes spiritual resurrection, is the power of God. The power of God. Well, what else? Well, the power of Jesus Christ. Notice, in comparison to when we were studying earlier in some of our lessons about the bodily resurrection, also was by the power of Jesus Christ and His words. And had the power in the Lord Jesus Christ's words. Listen to this. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Quickened by the Spirit, the power of Christ. The power of Christ is what accomplishes spiritual resurrection. Christ said, no man, he said, I lay my life down by myself. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down and I'm going to raise it up. And he did by the power of the Spirit of Christ, God the Holy Ghost, quickened by the Spirit. Okay, what else? Well, talking about the power of Christ, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1:16. Listen to this. The power of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The power of Jesus Christ is where the power comes from for spiritual resurrection, the same as the power of God, the power of God. All right, now, all three are the same God and the same God, the same Godhead, but different offices and work differently having to do with spiritual resurrection. They all three have different parts, but they're all the same God and all the same power, but they are separated and discussed in the scriptures individually, like we're talking about right now. We talked about the power of God, and now we're talking about the power of Jesus Christ. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is verse 21 and 22 says, "For since by man came death," talking about spiritual death, The Lord told him, he said, when you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Well, Adam didn't die after he ate that fruit that Eve gave him. His body began to die, but it took almost, what, 900 years for him to die? But what died? His spirit died. His spirit died. And every man born of his seed is spiritually dead. And every human being that's ever been born comes from Adam's seed. Down his son, Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel, and they had their sons, and they had their sons, and they had their sons, and the seed passed on down, and the seed came down spiritually dead. Dead. Okay? But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians and chapter 15 and verse 21 and 22, for since by man came death, by man, talking about Jesus Christ the man, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, spiritually dead. The resurrection of being raised spiritually came from Jesus Christ. Jesus, the power of Jesus Christ, and what he did, okay? For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, spiritually. The ones that believe on him, the ones that don't believe on him ain't going to be made alive, not spiritually. What else? Well, the power of the Holy Ghost. We said the power of God. Now, we're talking about spiritual resurrection. We're talking about the power that accomplishes spiritual resurrection. Well, the power of God accomplishes spiritual resurrection. The power of Jesus Christ accomplishes spiritual resurrection. And also the power of the Holy Ghost accomplishes spiritual resurrection. Listen to it. And Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5, it says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost does the work of reviving and bringing our spirits back to life when he enters into our bodies and takes up residence and is the earnest of the inheritance, the down payment of what God has given us for believing on his Son and on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what else? Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, spiritual resurrection. Not only does the Lord save us and bring our spirits back to life, but he begins to start teaching us and transforming us into the image of Christ spiritually, turning us into the image of Christ. And then one day, which is a promise that we've already studied when we were talking about bodily resurrection, the Lord's going to change our vile bodies to fashion them like unto his glorious body. But as far as spiritually, God the Holy Ghost is transforming you and changing you into the image of Christ spiritually, and giving you the mind of Christ and teaching you and teaching me. Amen? The power of the Holy Ghost. John chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Now what is that? Being born of your mother? Physically? Bodily? From your mother? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Talking about God the Holy Ghost. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, enter into a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God is not a place. It is a kingdom, the kingdom of spirituality having to do with the Lord God the Holy Ghost and the spiritual things of God that you enter when God the Holy Ghost enters into you and wakens your spirit. Everything in the kingdom of God is spiritual. You can't observe it. It's spiritual. It's all the spiritual things of God having to do with being born again and having to do with consulting with the Lord and all the things that God the Holy Ghost teaches you. It's all a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, is spirit, the spirit part of man. You see? You see that? All right, so we see, what are we talking about? Well, our subject in this study of resurrection right now is spiritual resurrection. The first thing that we find out, the power that accomplishes spiritual resurrection, is the power of God, the power of Jesus Christ, the power of God the Holy Ghost, and there's one other thing, the power of the Word of God. Now, we've talked about this in depth and will continue because it is one of the most vital things. If you learn anything else having to do with God, with Christian, with spiritual things and the Word of God and doctrine in the Word of God, is how important the Word of God is to you and what we're studying right this very second. The power of the Word of God. That book is powerful. Those words in that book are powerful. Why? Because they are God's words. Very, very important to you. Very important to you. The devil, if he could do anything else, and his kingdom that he has right now is to destroy your faith in that book. To take that book away from you, to take those words away from you, to get you away from them words, because he knows the power of those words. He knows them. Listen to what 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 through 25 say. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Well, we're reading right this very second, the Word of God. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again, what is that? Spiritually awakened, resurrected spiritually. Spiritual resurrection. How's it accomplished? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. You're not only initially born into the the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of God. You're not only born by the Word of God into the spiritual kingdom of God. You are also taught and matured spiritually by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen? What else? John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The Spirit is what is made alive, that is brought back to life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words, listen to this now, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Any man that tells you that that book doesn't matter and that's all it is black and white, we're not so stupid to think that you can't burn that book. It's paper and pencil and pen and ink, of course. But you can't burn the spiritual words of that book. You can't, you know what? You couldn't make me spit on it. People tell you that if you think, I had a man tell me one time, look me dead in the face from a pulpit, and I was sitting in a church, looked me dead in the face and said, if you think you're saved by that Bible, man, you're lost. And the only thing I regret about that is I didn't get my daughter and stand up and walk out of that place right then. But that was the biggest bunch of stinking junk. I mean, he paused after he said it because he knew what he done. He knew what he said. And he knew he was wrong. The Bible says being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you think you're saved by that book, you're lost, man. Who you think told him to say that? God the Holy Ghost? I don't think so. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words are the words that he speaks unto us, the written word. Can John speak to you face to face right now? No. He's dead in the grave. But his words that God the Holy Ghost had him write, we're reading right now. And he tells us this is plain. It don't get any plainer than that. It is the Spirit that quickeneth and makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, that we're reading right this very second, they are spirit, and they are life. A child can understand that. I can read that to a 7-year-old little young girl in Sunday school and say, what does that mean, honey? And she'll tell me that, it's the spirit side, Brother TV, about being born again. And how do you get born again? Well, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Bible. A child knows that. Oh, the Bible, yes, that's the book for me. Kids know that, or they knew it anyway. The power of the Word of God. Don't underestimate that book. That book is your life. That book is your safety rope. It is your rope to keep you attached. It is what keeps you attached spiritually to the Lord. I mean, God the Holy Ghost is never going to leave you, and he indwells you. But you can get away from the Word of God and get out of fellowship with the Lord and become unspiritual if you get away from them words. Those words are spirit, and they are life. John 5:24, listen to this. Here it is again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, Jesus. Now, how are we going to hear Jesus' words? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. How are you going to hear them, huh? You're going to hear them by reading them when you hear them out of that book. The written word of God is what we have in this dispensation. The Lord, on purpose, had over 40 authors over, 1,500 years put together all these words, Old Testament and New Testament, that we have compiled together and finished, that we can hold in our hands and read the very words of the living God and know his will. And that's what we're doing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, it'd be very unfair for the Lord to tell us that we need to hear his words and believe on him that sent him to have everlasting life if we do not have his words to read and believe on him, right? absolutely right. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Spiritual resurrection. Spiritual resurrection. The Bible says that the power for spiritual resurrection, the power that accomplishes spiritual resurrection, comes from the power of God. It comes from the power of Jesus Christ. It comes from the power of God the Holy Ghost. And it also comes from the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. You and I both know that it is a foolish man that would speak against the Word of God, and a foolish man that would take God's Word so lightly after all the Scripture that tells a man to keep his stinking hands and his words off of God's words and leave them alone and leave them like he said to leave them. God knows what he had written down, knows exactly how many words he has, the punctuation of them, and the meaning and the sense of his words. He has it all established already. It's only man that tampers with it and confuses it and really messes people up spiritually, and they're going to pay for it. They're going to pay for it. Woe unto them that have to stand before the Lord having tampered with God's eternal word. Woe unto them. And if that's you, you better quit it and you better leave that book alone and believe it. And believe it as it is. If there's something you don't understand about it, it's because you just haven't studied that far yet, or God the Holy Ghost is not revealing it to you. Move on and keep studying. And the things that God does teach you, there's plenty of stuff to learn in the Word of God without majoring and changing God's Word around, thinking you're smarter than the Holy Ghost. What a foolish thing to think. What a foolish thing to think. But we'll stop right there. We're going to stop right there. And we're talking about our topic in this study of resurrection right now is spiritual resurrection. And the thing that we have spoken about today and learned together today out of the Word of God is that the power that accomplishes spiritual resurrection is the power of God, the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Ghost that dwells in us and has taken up residence, and he's staying there, never leaving or forsaking us until the redemption of the bride, of the body of Christ, us, and the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. The next thing we're going to go into is the same study, spiritual resurrection, but the second thing that we want to talk about is facts concerning spiritual resurrection. Not only where the power comes from to accomplish it, but what are some facts concerning spiritual resurrection? Where does it take place, and when does it take place, and things of that nature, and so forth and so on. And that's what we'll talk about. That's what we're going to do. And it's a good study today, huh? Do you see the difference in the bodily resurrection, man being three parts? Don't forget that. The bodily resurrection, and now we're talking about spiritual resurrection. And praise the Lord for covering it all, huh? He took care of it all. He's taken care of it all. It's going to be taken care of. It's past taken care of, it's being taken care of, and it's going to be taken care of already. And all you had to do was believe the book and believe what it says about Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And believe it and be born again, spiritually quickened and awakened, and born into the kingdom of God, spiritual kingdom, and start learning. Start learning and growing and being conformed into the image of Christ. All right, well, let me give you the scriptures for today. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 21 and 22. Titus chapter 3 verse 4 and 5. Romans chapter 15 verse 13. John chapter 3 verse 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 through 25. John chapter 6 verse 63. And let's see here. John chapter 5 verse 24. And I think that's it for today. John chapter 5, verse 24. That was the last one for today. All right. Well, spiritual resurrection. Spiritual resurrection. And the power that accomplishes it. And the next time we come together on our next study, we're going to talk about some facts concerning spiritual resurrection. How it takes place or when it takes place, and we'll talk about what it gives and what it does not give. What does it do? What does it do when you are when spiritual resurrection does take place? What happens? All right, and what it delivers from. Does it deliver you from something? Oh, it absolutely does. And does it change anything? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All right, so we'll talk about all that stuff. And wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Praise God for His wonderful Word. Don't you know it's, you can tell it's spiritual. I mean, the power of God the Holy Ghost and just us studying His Word, you can tell, can't you? Can't you tell? I can tell. All right. Well, the Lord bless you, and I wish you the very best, and that you're going to be all right until we come together again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.